All right. Well, we're back again with the marriage call. I'm so encouraged. Sister Lola, are you where you can speak into the mic now? Unless you were saying something.
Yes, I'm back on.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Well, I really wanted to thank God for my husband and the blessing that he is in the home. I was just really exalting him in the Lord. I thank God for how he's such a great leader and how he leads our family, and I'm just so thankful for the blessing that we have in him. I also wanted to thank God for the church that he's leading us to and the blessing that you all are to us and how you do have the marriage call and how that's going to strengthen the families. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank God for the blessings that I have in my life through my husband as well as through you all.
Praise God. Praise God. We are excited once again about what God is doing, and we're excited about this call. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. And all of you guys who had something good to say this morning. We want to remind you that a lot of what we go through in marriage is just perspective. It's just perspective. My father-in-law says oftentimes, he says, many times the things that you cry about now, you'll laugh about later if you can make it through them. And it's all perspective. It really is. This morning, we're going to deal with a topic, and it's kind of funny, the subject of it, but everybody's on the phone been through it, and so it's not funny. But God gave me a new subject, and it'll probably take us 2 to 3 weeks to deal with it. We're also getting ready to, we're also putting together an interactive polling and answering program. Whereas, as we talk on this call, you can answer questions anonymously, and I can get the feedback instantaneously. Whereas we can have interaction, because sometimes you want to answer a question or you want to be able to have input without other people knowing, and even maybe even your spouse knowing what you think about something. So we're setting that up, and I'm excited about that. So actually what you'll be able to do is come on the call, and then if you have a smartphone or you're on a computer, you can get on the computer and answer certain questions that we send out. And if that was up today, the question that I would send out goes along with the subject. The subject that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is what to do when your spouse is tripping. Okay? And so if you've been married more than a week, seriously, more than a year or so, you would have run into this. If you've been married multiple years, you definitely will have run into this. What to do when your spouse is just straight tripping. Sometimes it's not you, sometimes it's them. And sometimes it's not them, sometimes you, the spouse, is tripping. So we're going to talk about that today. Not only expect a whole bunch of talking, because, you know, don't nobody want nobody to know that the spouse is tripping. But I can just honestly say that in my marriage, I have probably been the spouse that was tripping more often than my wife. Just for different reasons and stuff like that we're going to get into. And if you don't handle that situation well, if you do not handle your spouse tripping well, that could ultimately lead to divorce, separation. It could lead to infidelity. it could lead to all sorts of problems in your marriage. So you need to be able to handle a tripping spouse. And so we're going to define, we're going to give you the official definition of tripping. Let me see. I actually have a dictionary definition of it. Tripping, acting out of character, reacting with extreme emotions, freaking out, acting crazy, acting strange, or being weird. Okay? And I don't care how saved you are, how much Holy Ghost you have, at some point, you're going to experience this with your spouse, or you're going to be the one tripping, and your spouse is going to be experiencing it. It has nothing to do with you being saved, being a Christian, being sincere, living holy, none of that stuff, okay? And we're going to get into why some of it today. We're not going to have time to really deal with all of it because of the men's breakfast this morning, and we're going to kind of cut it a little shorter than usual. We're gonna get into it. All right. So, not talking about yourself, not talking about your spouse, but other spouses you know, What are some leading causes of spouses tripping? And I'll take comments on this. Just in general.
One of the things I think is trying to figure out what to eat. That can be one of them.
What to eat? Okay.
At night. What to eat at night?
Okay. Anybody else?
What about finances?
Finances can cause a spouse trip out. Exactly. What else? Anybody else?
Pastor, I want to say, the F word, sex. That'd be about trip out, yes.
Exactly. Anybody else? What's another one? How many people we got online? I'm looking at you, so I know we got more people online than this. Speak up. What would cause a spouse to act weird, out of character, extreme emotions, act crazy, strange, freak out?
Another one is when you're not actually listening to your spouse. Feelings, the emotions, not giving them time.
Not being heard. Yes. Anything else?
Lack of time.
Lack of time in what way?
Just not being intentional with time, planning dates or making your spouse feel important, things of that nature.
Okay. That's good. Anybody got anything else?
Feeling of unfairness.
Unfairness. Exactly. Feelings of unfairness. Anything else?
Nope. Basically, the mama boy and mama's boy and daddy's girl, you know, other family coming, marriage.
Oh yeah. Now, anybody willing enough to talk about it, when they were the spouse that was tripping? Maybe not at this time. But I want to share. I want to share just from my own personal experiences, counseling with people, as well as things that me and my spouse have endured as well. But let me tell you what this stuff can lead to. It can lead to words and conversations said like, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. I don't know if I love you or not. That's why I need this little break to think about what's going on. If your phone's not muted, go ahead and mute your phone because I'm hearing the echo. It leads to words like, I've fallen out of love with you. I need my emotional freedom. I think I'm having a midlife crisis and a nervous breakdown. I think the kids should be with you right now because you're more emotionally stable than I am. I'm not ready to come home yet. And all that kind of stuff. Ultimately, it can destroy a marriage if you don't know how to deal with your spouse when they're tripping. Now, let me make this statement, and this statement will be made throughout this time and the next time we deal with the subject. Understand your spouse is going to go through their own personal storms as one. As a person, they're going to have personal storms, personal development, all that kind of stuff. They're going to have storms just with them personally, has nothing to do with you. They're going to also go through your own personal storms because you're that spouse. So when you go through a storm, they're going to go through it too. Then they're going to go through the storms of others that's close to them. If they got aging parents, you know, they're going through that. They're close to their brothers and sisters, they're going through that. They, you know, y'all's children, you know, going through storms, they're going through that. So marriage can be very stressful because there are a lot of unseen circumstances that's going to come against your spouse and come against you personally as an individual, all right? So what to do when your spouse starts acting weird when they start tripping out, okay? Now, sometimes it just may be a case of one of me and my wife's favorite movies is What About Bob? And he says on that, he says, some people are temporarily disconnected. Sometimes it's just a temporary phase, you know, a mood swing, something like that, okay? So there are some things to consider at this first level of temporary disconnection or whatever that a spouse may be going through. If it's a wife, just consider, of course, I think everybody mentioned that on the first level, like, you know, somebody said, well, money or not spending enough time or not planning somebody said something, going out to eat or what we're going to eat, stuff like that. Those are pretty low-level issues. And what I'm calling first level tripping, you know, is just some really light stuff. But here's some things to consider when you're dealing with the woman and that's going on. Maybe there's an unmet expectation. She thought you were talking about taking her the Papa Do's when you said going out, and all you had was Burger King money, and that's what you was thinking when you said let's go out to eat, you know. And so, you know, that could cause a little angst and a temporary disconnection, tripping. Hormonal. Women have a hormone called estrogen. If you are a man on the line, I would advise you to Google that hormone, estrogen. And it will help you understand your wife. It will help you understand her mood swings at different times. And then what that hormone causes her to feel like. Estrogen, progesterone, that's their primary hormones that they deal with constantly. Of course, when you're dealing with a woman, you gotta always, you know, especially before the change, you gotta always consider that time of the month, menstrual cycle, you know, the cramping, the bleeding, you know. It's not a very happy time during those 6 or 7 days. They're not happy campers physiologically. It's going to just act out and stuff like that because you're Christian, you got the Holy Ghost, you got self-control at all times. But you just got to understand that. If they have just had a baby, and this was one that hit us that we did not even know of, I did not even know about, postpartum depression. I forget which child, it really hit hard on my wife. But all I knew, man, she tripping, you know. I mean, you know, you got all that other time before you can come together intimately, because, you know, right at the end and then there's weeks, and then after that, there wasn't nothing. I'm like, what? Then she wouldn't clean up. And it was just like, what is going on? She's letting herself go. Was grooming myself and all that stuff. And it was postpartum depression. And so if your wife is having a baby or had a baby, you know, not that you believe for that, you can believe against that if you know about it. And then the next babies, we did agree that would not happen if it didn't, because we prayed beforehand. But sometimes that's the case. Age with women, getting older, the loss of hair, loss of teeth, looks will affect them. The change, menopause, can affect them greatly. And then any crisis or prolonged pressure or prolonged stressors and finances can definitely fall under that. Because, you know, lack of finances and stuff may cause prolonged pressure and stress to the woman. Also, you know, those that work, you know, in the workplace and work outside the home, you know, job pressures and stuff like that can really cause them to act out at home or take it out on their spouse or their marriage. When you deal with a man, same thing, unmet expectations. And men, women are hormonal as well. there's more talk about that now than ever before. But I would advise every woman on the line to Google the hormone testosterone. See what it does to a man. The lack of or when it's being increased. And then sometimes it's been synthetically increased artificially. And that the man will have a reaction to that as well. So study that. And I think women have studied that less than men have studied women. Of course, women's studies have basically been crammed down men's throats to a certain degree. But women hardly ever take into account that hormone that a man has called testosterone and what it causes. Midlife crisis with a man. You know, just that whole, man, I'm 40, I'm 50, I thought I would be further by now. What am I doing? My life is bad or it's not good or, you know, and then some guys, you know, they start wanting to change their look and go out and buy some cool clothes or get their ear pierced or fool with a younger woman, all that kind of stuff. Am I still cute? Am I still sexy? Do I still have it? Age, which goes along with that, same thing as a woman. A loss of hair, a loss of teeth, looks. And then for men, it's this big stress on jobs, in the workplace, or in their business. Many times will cause them to act out, trip out. And so that's level one stuff. That's inner things, basically, that and things that are inner things and then things that are just going to probably happen at some point. I mean, you stay married, your spouse is going to get older. And stuff like that, you know. You know, they work in a job, there's going to be pressure on the job. They're hormonal. Everybody got hormones. Men have testosterone, women have estrogen. The physiological things that happen to women every month, you know, so it's not, this is not external things. Dealing with two people, there are going to be unmet expectations at some point. Somebody's going to expect one thing, it's going to end up something else. So it's just going to happen. I don't care how much planning you do, how much talking, how much you love each other. These are things that are just going to happen. And, you know, low-level things, the change that the women go through, menopause, all that stuff. You're just going to expect those things. They're going to happen. And they're going to cause little thorns in your life or in the life of your spouse. There are ways that we can handle them according to scripture, where they where we can minimize the effect that these things are going to happen. The next level of tripping that your spouse may be going through, or you may go through, and I define the first level as a what happened to the people, because internal things is a what. Natural things like a job or what, stuff like that. But the next level is typically a who. It's not a what, it's a who. And these are externals. If you have your Bible, let's go over to Galatians. Let's go over to Galatians. I want to show you this. We do a thing with you called relationships. Relationships has to do with, I say, and I do it with adults too, I guess, but every relationship is taking you somewhere. Every relationship is progressing you towards something. Now, we understand that in a marriage, your relationship is not only with your spouse. There are other relationships that you have, some legitimate, some not legitimate. And we're going to talk about it. And so, typically, when you see a major change, and then from just the youth level and parents, I've had parents come to me and say, I don't know my child. I don't know my son anymore. I don't know my daughter anymore. What has happened to them? Well, there are some whats that have happened to them because they got hormones and puberty and stuff like that. But when there's a major change, I'm talking about night and day switch, a big negative dip, and all that kind of stuff, it is usually not a what that's happened, but a who. And this is where you got to get real serious in your marriage. The person has to get serious that's tripping, and the other person is being tripped on. They got to be serious too, because this can destroy your marriage. Okay, when you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who?" Everybody say who? If I was in church, I'd say everybody say who? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Okay? When it's a major move, major change in relationship, typically it's a who. Y'all heard me talk about the third voice so many times. It's supposed to be you and your spouse. When another third outside voice enters in, that's going to cause trouble. That outside voice may be a mother or a mother-in-law, father and a father-in-law. It may be a cousin. It may be a brother. It may be a friend. Maybe your barber. Maybe your beautician. Maybe somebody on TV, Oprah, Dr. R. It may be any external. Okay? Is a person, real or fictional. Okay? Entertainment. What entertains you enters you. What entertains you enters you. And in entertainment is always a person. Somebody we like, somebody we like to look at, some movie star, some reality show person, some musician, whatever. Okay? Entertainment, just remember, what entertains you enters you. I preached that 20 years ago. What entertains you enters you. You got to be careful at TV shows, movies, internet, social media. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. If we could just turn Facebook off now, I know 25% of marriages that ended would probably not have ended. Because, man, some people cannot handle that stuff. They're curious. I wonder what my old boyfriend from high school is doing. I wonder what my old girlfriend from college is doing. Let's look her up. Oh, let's give her a life request. I don't know. Man, that got people in so much trouble. Pornography, other people. Music. Can I stress that? Your spouse start listening. The strange music, different music. You know, you Christians, y'all been, you know, they praise the word. All of a sudden, they listening to secular music all the time. All the time, secular music, iPod, secular music all the time. You know, they're in trouble. Outside relationships, platonic, just. You know, and there's usually same sex, you know. He's my girlfriend, you know, that's a girl. And these are my dudes, you know, these are my boys. We hang out, okay? Outside relationships, influences from outside relationships can cause a spouse to trip big time. Familiar relationships, we already talked about that. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, mother's, daddy, you know, whole thing. And then the biggie, we know this one. Sexual relationships outside the marriage, adultery, both emotional and physical, will cause a mate to start acting really strange and weird, all right? And then, I don't know if this is the last level or whatever, but this is another level as well, is direct demonic influence. Y'all know we're a spirit-filled church. We believe in devils and demons. We know that devils are attacking marriages. point blank, hands down, plain and simple. You got to understand that the devil hates you being married. He hates you. You're on the top of his hit list, you and your wife, you and your husband. You got big bulls out on your back. He hates it. If you look at down your family line, especially those of y'all who are African-American on the line, there's not many of y'all in your family with good marriages. And in my family in particular, on both sides, man, I'm on one side, I'm the only man married, black man is married. On the other side, I'm one of two. There you go, generationally, with, you know, we still got two or three generations living. On one side, I'm the only man married. On the other side, I'm one of maybe two or three. And then we ain't even talking about the quality of marriage that those that are still married are having. So we understand it's a fight. In the African-American community, 73% of our children are growing up in single homes. 70% of the black women are single. Phenomenal. It's a phenomenal number. So that means that, by and large, I mean, we well over half of marriages in the black community not working out. Let's talk about most marriages in the black community don't work out. So you got to know that, you know, if you marry, you're going to be in a major, major fight. And the biggest fight is, if you got children, is to be able to pass a heritage of a good home and a good marriage onto them so that you can reproduce that in them. The devil hates that. He hates it. He hates it if it gets to the next generation because it's going to multiply. So if he can start with you and your spouse, you know, stop it right there, you know, he's done a great job. Now, some of us on the line come from a heritage of good marriage. So then you're the second leg. So he's going to attack you because he knows, man, if he can destroy it at the second leg, it won't get to the third leg. By the time anything in the spirit realm gets to the third generation, it cannot be moved. That's why the Bible says, we hear the old diggers and old Baptist church tell us, I pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three generations. It took three generations to establish a nation. Okay? So some of you are coming from good marriages. Your mom and dad are still together. Or, you know, your mom or your dad stayed married until their spouse died. And you came from a good home. And God is giving you the torch. Now the baton is on you to carry that forward. All right? Some of you didn't come from that at all. And so now you got to establish that in your bloodline, which is going to be a little harder. But whichever way it goes, we got to know how to deal with every level of storm that we're going to experience individually, how to handle our spouse when they're going through something, how to minimize the storm, shorten it, and stop the bleeding when it happens. Everybody follow me? All right, now, if it's your spouse, the first thing you need to do is go over to John chapter 16, verse 1. I want somebody else to read that on the line. St. John chapter 16, verse 1. I want somebody else to read that on the line.
These things I have spoken unto you, that ye shall not be offended. They shall put you out of your synagogues, ye Or just verse 1?
Yeah, just verse 1. Now read that again, Sister Tia, and read that real slow. Read that again. Read that again.
These things I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended.
Rule number one. You're dealing with a spouse that's tripping. And you know they tripping. You know they not themselves. You know they saying things under the influence of somebody else or the devil or whatever. First thing, do not be offended. Yeah, you cannot get offended. Do not be offended at them. You cannot be offended at them. Okay? Because the bottom line is, sometimes they're not at themselves. They're not at themselves. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. So that's rule number one. Do not fall into offense. Because typically, you're the only one that's going to really be able to help them at that time. And if you allow what they're doing to offend you and isolate you, and that's what the devil wants, then now they're going through their storm by themselves. They may lash out at you, but you're not the problem. And really, I'm just going to tell you, typically, you know, and people blame each other in the marriage and stuff like that, but really, that's the other spouse ain't the problem. When stuff is going on, when folks feel like they can't recover, they just, they're getting all these thoughts, they're going through this and that, man, it ain't really, it's not that other spouse, because that other spouse cannot get into that person's mind, cannot stop thoughts, cannot change the way they feel. Whether actual or fictional. When a person has a perception, their perception becomes real to them. There's nothing you can do. As a Christian, we are personally responsible for our own emotional state of being. Our spouse is not responsible for that. Your spouse is not responsible for your happiness. Your spouse is not responsible for your joy. Your spouse is not responsible for your faith. Your spouse is not responsible for your peace. You are to lean on God for those things. If you're leaning on your spouse for those things, you're going to be disappointed at some point because they're going to fail. And so, if your spouse is tripping, just understand that ultimately, you know, now if they're tripping because of something you're doing, then, you know, y'all need time and get that stuff straight. You know what I mean? You're taking the bill money every month and gambling it away on scratch offs. Yeah, she's going to be tripping. He's going to be tripping. I'm going to be tripping. All right? You're the woman, and typically that's how this happens. You ain't gave your man sex in 3 months, he's going to be tripping. Yeah. Stuff like that. But in a typical situation, you know, it's not the spouse ain't really done nothing, or, you know, something that they've done is being really blown out of proportion or whatever, you know, and you know the spouse trip. And many times we as spouses, we know when we trip. And sometimes that spouse will know they tripping and they can't stop. And I can tell you, I'm so self-actualized, and many times I'll stop in the middle of something and say, Janet, I'm tripping. And give me a minute. I'm tripping because I just took birth, and man, it was a crazy day. And these people, you know, they really did this or that, and it made me mad. I'm not over it. So, you know, I'm kind of edgy with you, and I shouldn't be. Give me a minute, get myself together, try to stop tripping. But it's three C's that I use all the time with people, even when me and my wife are counseling people, when things are going on outside of us and stuff like that. And if you can say this for surety, then you know it's not you. You're not tripping. So don't get offended at the tripping spouse. Three C's. If you write, you might want to write this down because this will bless you for the rest of your life. Whether you're dealing with your spouse or whether you're dealing with other people, whether you're dealing with your children. And it goes like this. I didn't cause it. I can't control it. And I can't cure it. I didn't cause it. I can't control it. And I can't cure it. And when you get that understanding, especially if y'all are, you know, your spouse is going through something, man, you know, sometimes spouses go through depression, and you know, clinical depression, man, didn't nobody cause that? You didn't cause it. You can't control it. You can't cure it. But you know somebody who can, because we Christians. All right. So number one, don't get offended. Number two, pray for one another. Pray for your spouse. And I'm talking about pray for them, for real, for real. You need to be praying for your spouse daily because you have no idea what they're going through. You don't know even if they come tell you, you know, what's going on in their job or whatever, you know. You're not in their shoes. Go to Ephesians 6:18. I'm still hearing background noise of somebody. You can mute your phone. If everybody can mute their phone. Ephesians 6:18. And we're going to end it with this. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season. Every season of your life as a married person, you praying at all times, on every occasion, every season, in the spirit. So that's, you know, you got to have the Holy Ghost to pray in the spirit. With all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all consecrated people. Right? So if God wants you to pray for all people, he definitely wants you to pray for your spouse. They should be number one on your prayer list. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Fast for them. Pray in the spirit. Ask God for insight. Ask him for word of knowledge. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him to supernaturally intervene. Ask him to give your spouse supernatural favor in the workplace, in their business. Ask God to give them peace of mind. Ward off the devil, the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. Do spiritual warfare for your spouse. Rebuke the devil on your spouse. Now, you know, it's not to offend them. You might want to go into another room and do that where they don't know it. I know some wives that are usually the ones to do this. They'll take while their husbands sleep, anointing them with oil and stuff and pray. But sometimes, if they add to them, if you see a demonic manifestation right there, man, just start throwing it out right there. In the name of devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will not have my marriage. You will not have my spouse in Jesus' name. Now, you would think, hey, they might get offended, but you know, that has happened in our marriage both ways. My wife has done it to me. I've done it to her in the situation. And you're talking about immediate diffusing a situation. I'm talking about immediately. And that person, that devil can't act up no more. It shut them down. They don't even know what to say. It ended up like, I was just saying no. Just forget it, sir. Just forget it. You know, all right, I'm talking about immediate diffusal of a situation. You want to hear the situation, whatever? You just start talking to the enemy. I was like, oh, babe, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the devil. Now, what was you saying? And she said, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the devil. And totally diffuse the situation. But you got to pray. You got to intercede. You got to do warfare on behalf of your spouse. You got to do it. All right? Or you won't make it. You won't make it because the devil is coming. He's attacking. He's attacking your spouse individually. You don't know what's going on in their mind. You don't know what's going on in their brain. You don't know how they're feeling. You don't know what their emotions are. And then you don't know who they're listening to. You don't know who they're allowing to influence them. You don't know who they're allowing to get in their headspace. Got one of them all the time. You don't know the music they're listening to. You don't know what they're watching. I mean, with these phones, with social media, all that kind of stuff. You don't know what they're doing. So you got to trust God. You got to pray. You got to intercede. That's why it's good to be in a good church. That's why it's good to be in good marriage ministry. And we're gonna go further on next week. But I wanted to start off with this subject and throwing it out there because we know, and we need to know supernaturally, there's people on the line we know have gone through this, and some are going through it now. Spouse is tripping. Well, there are things you can do to help the situation, and that's what we're going to talk about. And if you're the one tripping, there are things you can do to help the situation. All right. That's what we're going to continue to talk about even on this week. Any comments, questions before we go?
Hey, Pastor Rhonda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, we got cut off. I didn't, so did Lola. She had too much background noise. She couldn't mute. And I got my phone battery went dead, so I'm just getting back on.
Okay.
And I'm over here.
Okay. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Sister Regina, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Can you close off with prayer?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, close it out in prayer.
Okay, Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we've had together to get in your word, Lord, to learn how to sustain our marriages, keep our marriages pure and free from the attack of the enemy. God, we thank you, Lord, that as we walk out our lives and our marriage, Lord, that we apply the word that we receive to our lives, Lord, to strengthen our marriages, to strengthen our families, Lord. I pray, God, for every home that's represented on the line today, God. I thank you, Lord, that you bless the marriages, you bless their families, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your will is for their lives, that it comes to full fruition, Lord. I thank you that all the things that the devil tries to do against those homes, against those families, against those marriages, Lord, we will have the victory over it in Christ Jesus, Lord. I thank you, God, that you love us, God, and that you watch out for us, Lord, and that you protect us, Lord. And, Father, I pray, God, that you continue to sustain us and keep us, Lord, with your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it all. Amen.
Hey, God bless you guys. We'll see you back on the line next week. Love y'all.
Bye.